And I was thinking about that the other night too, because when you look at these virtual characters, I call them cartoons because that's all they are really, when you look at them, they're all pretty much the same kind of face and all, and so on. And I noticed years ago that Hollywood started churning out movies where every actor looked pretty much like the last actor, as opposed to the old movies from the 50s and 60s. We had a variety of types, more natural kind of guys you'd meet in the street. And the same with the women too. And of course, then you find out after reading papers and magazines down through your life, they get plastic surgery and they go to the same plastic surgeon. And there's actually a kind of Hollywood look which they promote. So they all end up looking like Baxter's peas in a can, all exactly the same. So therefore, it makes everyone feel imperfect and you don't match up. So it's interesting to see, as I say, when you go into this virtual world, the youngsters all end up picking these very, very similar faces and so on. And that's where they feel they have power over their cartoon. And that's all it is, really. And they take it seriously because they project it themselves, their own ego, onto their character. And as I say, in some countries, their virtual world has spilled into the real world, like South Korea, where they ended up getting knife fights with different gangs who were actually participating in the same kind of thing in the virtual world that spilled into the real world. So that's how much you can be manipulated. The world, really, in science itself, science was brought out to truly elevate a small minority who knew where they were going for hundreds of years, by the way. Hundreds of years. As they fought against the old churches and so on to eradicate their competition, because the churches held sway over the minds of the general public, and the scientific elite eventually made it up there, first through occultism, etc. That's what they used to pretend they were into as a cover, but in reality, even in medieval times, they were practicing basic, very primitive sciences and recording their studies. They called it the underground stream for a long, long time. And then they broke out with Rosicrucianism, still with the occult facade, because if you attach occultism to our mystery, like Adam Weishaupt said, the people will flock in like crazy, get lots of members. So, and they're willing fools, they'll do what they're told. So they eventually they came up down through the ranks, and through mastery of their sciences, they eventually became kind of masters to an extent over countries, because they went into the weapons industry big time. And they became very valuable and necessary to those who ruled, you see. Albert Pike talks a bit about this too in his book Morals and Dogma. He said that we shall, by using, and basically he's hinting at manipulating the stock market even, he says we shall gain power and influence and become the masters over the masters of the world. They're really talking about this particular movement where reason and rationality, supposedly, as they call it, would take over from superstition, as they called the religions. We're in that system today. It's been here for a long time. Again, it's well-funded by bankers. The bankers who started up the Milner Group had their sons working across the world to foment revolutions and wars. That's, again, in Carol Quigley's book, The Tragedy and Hope and the Anglo-American Establishment, and well-documented, too, from their own records. And I have some books here written by some of the members, those early members, that verify that too. So we're not living through happenstance, things that just happen out the blue. Nothing happens out the blue on a big scale. We're living through a planned agenda, including this new world government type system, where they truly believe that through scientific techniques, and that's what eugenics is all about, and now call it too neuroscience, which is taken over from psychology and psychiatry and behaviorism, neuroscience. They can condition people and ultimately, literally, and they mean it. Now, I've watched quite a few videos from DARPA and so on where they chip people's brains to see how they can control them. It's not to help people. It's to control people. Science has always been on getting funding to find ways of controlling populations. That's what the Huxleys were on about. That's what so many other authors have been on about. Control is the main thing. The other night I watched a disc that was sent to me, and Jose Delgado was on it. He worked for the FBI, CIA. He worked with MKUltra. And he was the guy who's well known for putting basically a chip into the brain of a charging bull. And by flicking the switch like a remote control, you can make it stop and turn circles. But even that is meant to make you think, well, it's just a bull. And they were already doing that with people in Tavistock Institute, according to Aldous Huxley, who mentions it in his Berkeley talks. He mentions that he was so excited too when he talked about how they could actually alter people's behavior by putting wires, electrical wires, into their brain. So mental hospitals have been vital for experimentation on people who basically have been shunned by society, deserted by relatives, and they can do as they wish, more so in the past perhaps than today. But believe you me, the history of psychology, behaviorism, and the social sciences is a horror show, absolute horror show, that you have to force yourself to go through, study, and for the videos that are out there, actually watch them to see what these characters have been up to, well-funded from the top. I used to wonder about the guys who did all of this, you know, and it's a particular training they go through to desensitize them. You'll find them slicing up brains, of course, neuroscience, from the era 1900s right to the present day. And I saw a video by Persinger, who's worked, he lives in Canada, but he's worked, he's a professor, and he's worked with the CIA and the Pentagon in the past, that's on his resume. And he's big into finding ways of controlling the mind. And he gets his students to slice all these brains up in thin slices and stare at them, look at them, just like they have for 100 years. And that really is a process simply to desensitize them, because if there's nothing obvious on the brain itself, abnormality, what's the point in slicing them all and staring at every slice over and over and over again? And what happens in the student is they become desensitized, they feel superior. They can't talk about this to their classmates, their outside people, I should say, or their parents and friends. They're now a member of an elitist club themselves. That's how they see it. And they're actually being taught to divorce their natural emotions from the hard left brain faculties of critical analysis. And that really can create a monster down the road. These are the guys who will They do more than just put chips in the brains of rats like they do today. They've actually tested a lot of things on humans in the past, and it's an utter horror show, as I say. And Russia, the Soviet Russia, I watched one, an old one from, I think, the 30s, when they were promoting it over in Britain and America, how wonderful their sciences had advanced, and they actually show you cutting the heads of dogs after they had drained the blood, then pumping it back in with the head, and the dog would be semi-conscious. They thought that was fantastic. Great breakthrough for the miracle of science. Back with more after this. Hi folks, we're back, cutting through the matrix, just talking about some of the history of neuroscience and behaviorism and psychology and the horrors that's been committed in the past, kept quiet from the public, of course, and they'll always show you the little hamsters with the little brain implants and are a rat. Even today they show this nonsense to make you think that's all they're up to. But getting back to what I was saying about the Soviet Union, this information that they were gleaning there when they were using dogs' heads, and believe you me, they weren't just using dogs' heads. Understand how that's put across? They'll show you something which, well, it's not a human head. Well, they did use human heads as well. In fact, in the Soviet story, they showed you a little clip where they have all these folk lined up in beds, all lying down, and the tops of their skulls were all off. These folk had all been living, and of course, by the time they're finished, they'll all be dead. And this is the price they claim, that the sacrifice they have to make for science, you see. An incredible rush, an incredible push for controlling of the mind. And we've had it all our lives, by the way, in many other ways. We've had our conditioning in school. We've had the media taking over and giving us partial truths, often complete lies, but never complete truths on anything. Never, ever. Completely misled. Most of the media actually, and include a lot of the documentaries they give you, even especially from the BBC, do more to slant your impressions at the end of it. and give you the story. They slant it by omission of a lot of data rather than give you complete data. It's always slanted by omission. Very simple trick, of course, to make you think the way that they want you to think. You understand, we've always been under forms of control, and the last bastion is control of the mind. They admit that themselves. And my goodness, how much your tax money has been put into that, you'll never ever guess, never ever guess. It's phenomenal, and it's ongoing. You just have to look at even an article like this, and it's a handout to the media. And it says, hats amazing. Oh, very funny. The creativity cap, it says. And it says, scientists, that's again, now the priests, of course, is just called scientists. Now you'd have to say what scientists, it's like saying experts, have created a real-life thinking cap which works by zapping electricity through the brain. Well, that's not new. I read something last year about that too. And but it's getting pushed further, of course. This is the weird-looking headwear has had extraordinary results, and experts believe it could help people be more creative. It's to help you be creative, you understand, to help you. That's why they're doing all this. The device was dreamt up by the University of Sydney's Centre for the Mind in Australia and suppresses the left side of the brain to encourage the more creative right side into action. So in other words, it will kill off a little bit of your logical side, and your right one will take over with spatial abilities and so on. That's what they claim. This is but Centre Director Alan Snyder said students hoping to use it to swat up before exams would be disappointed. He said, you wouldn't use the study to help your memory. It won't help your memory, in other words, for the short-term memory studying. He says, you would use this if you wanted to look at a problem anew. Well, you can take drugs for that. Folk took LSD in the past and saw a thing, everything completely different. Anyway, it says, if you wanted to look at the world just briefly with a child's view, if you wanted to look outside the box. The device, which uses two electricity conductors, significantly boosted results in simple maths tests. Out of a sample of 60 participants, three times as many people who wore the cap were able to complete it compared to those who tried it without. The cap was inspired by accident victims. They always say always to do it to help accident victims. A documentary I watched the other day too showed you one of the DARPA people they're always on about a quadriplegic who they're trying to get to use a chip to think his emails. And this is Pentagon stuff here. Pentagon, that's who's behind it all. The military industrial boys, they want to find how to control the brain. Not for this little paraplegic, but for everyone. That's definitely coming, you know. Definitely coming. And a lot of folk, because they're all being conditioned, especially the young, that it's wonderful and it's science, and they can go surfing in their head forever. Well, they'll rush into it, of course. They'll rush right into it. But remember what Charles Galton Darwin says. He says the elite themselves won't alter themselves. They must remain wild. They must have their capacities intact, because they'll be guiding the planet Earth, basically the ship of Earth, and they'll have to have all their abilities for survival working to the maximum. It means, you see, that you won't need them. Other authors have said, like Kessler, you won't need these abilities because the state will be making all your decisions for you. You understand what we're all going into through all of this? But isn't it wonderful that they can actually make you want it? And that's what the computer was put out there for, to do, to make you want more and more like a drug. Quite interesting. And it's all leading to the same place. Sweden's one of the top countries, even since the 70s, of using prisoners for computer brain interfaces. Anyway, it says, and they're one of the top socialist countries in the world. It says, Alan said the goal was to suppress habits and opinions gathered through life experiences to help users see problems and situations as they really appear. Now, that's a very misleading statement there. As they really appear. So they want to suppress your habits and your opinions gathered through life experiences. Yes, your life experiences. But they want you to see them as they want you to see them. That's what he's really saying here. You see, we know that for certain types of brain damage and abnormalities or injuries, people who suddenly have damage to the left temporal lobe will burst out in the arts or other types of creative activities. Well, that's a tiny, tiny, tiny minority of brain accident victims to that lobe. Most of them don't have that at all. The dream is that one day we may be able to stimulate the brain in a particular way to give you, just momentarily, an unfiltered view of the world. Well, that'd be a great way to get a download of propaganda, wouldn't it? you know, the proper truth from the authorities. Back with more after this. Much you can be manipulated. The world, really, in science itself, science was brought out to truly elevate a small minority who knew where they were going for hundreds of years, by the way. Hundreds of years as they fought against the old churches and so on to eradicate their competition because the churches held sway over the minds. And they take it seriously because they project themselves, their own ego, onto their character. And as I say, in some countries, their virtual world has spilled into the real world, like South Korea, where they ended up getting knife fights with different gangs who were actually participating in the same kind of thing in the virtual world that spilled into the real world. So that's how the old movies from the 50s and 60s, we had a variety of types, more natural kind of guys you'd meet in the street. And the same with the women too. And of course, then you find out after reading papers and magazines down through your life, they get plastic surgery and they go to the same plastic surgeon. And there's actually a kind of Hollywood look which they promote. So they all, and I was thinking about that the other night too, because when you look at these virtual characters, I call them cartoons because that's all they are really. When you look at them, they're all pretty much the same kind of face and all and so on. And I noticed years ago that Hollywood started churning out movies where every actor looked pretty much like the last actor, as opposed to end up looking like Baxter's peas in a can, all exactly the same. So therefore, it makes everyone feel imperfect and you don't match up. So it's interesting to see, as I say, when you go into this virtual world, the youngsters all end up picking these very, very similar faces and so on. And that's where they feel they have power over their cartoon. And that's all it is, really.